Hey, you guys, doing another book review today. This was another recommendation from one of the BookTube channels that I watch, who's is Jordaline Reads, and I take like a lot of her recommendations because her taste and my taste seem to be very, very, very similar. And she really talked a lot about this book, and I was like, okay, I gotta get this and read it because it sounded like really awesome. So this is The Good House by Tananarive Due. Now, it's really weird because when I first ordered this book and started reading it, I didn't realize, even though the bulk of it is set in 2001 and a couple of years after that, I didn't realize until I looked it up later on that the book actually came out way the hell back in 2004. So, I was thinking it was kind of like just a couple of years old, but it's actually quite old, and it is actually set at the time that it was written. I thought it was, just set like a few, like it had been written to be back then, but it was like modern, but it's not. It was actually came out in 2004. Now, Tananarive Due has done a lot of books, and this is the first novel of hers that I've read. I actually saw her. She was on the Shudder documentary Horror Noir, History of Black Horror. So she's in that. I believe she's a professor and teaches about horror films, particularly those of Jordan Peele and stuff like that. So I'm really glad that I finally got around to reading one of her books because this just it sounded really cool and it sounded like right up my alley. So even though the book is called The Good House, you might think it kind of sounds like it would be a haunted house novel, but it's not exactly. It does have to do with a house and there is like creepy shit going on in the house, but it's not exactly ghosts. It's kind of like a different thing. So like I said, if you just like I say on these, reviews usually, if you don't want to know anything, if you want to know jack shit about this book before going into it, then probably don't watch this review. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil the end. However, to discuss it, I am going to have to basically say what happens in it at some points. And if you don't want to know anything, then, go read the book and then come back. Now, I will say this book is a big chunky boy. It's about 500 pages. And the text inside, at least in the paperback, is a very, very dense. So this actually took me probably 4 or 5 days to read, which is a very long time for me. And in matter of fact, I was supposed to review it last week, but I didn't have enough time to finish it in time, so I had to do Stir of Echoes instead because that was so much shorter, and I had already read it. And I wanted to be able to like devote some time to this one because this story, it's kind of like it's. I don't know if sprawling is the right word, and I don't even want to say multi-generational because it's mostly set in the present day, or at least the present when this was written. It's set, like I said, in 2001 and in 2004, but it does kind of go back and forth in time a little bit, and there are a lot of different characters, and it has to do with a large extended family and also a small town and kind of like the interconnections between all of those people. So, at the heart of the story is a woman named Angela, and she was a lawyer, and then she went to be like a Hollywood agent type of thing. So she's kind of like an up and coming agent. She's got like a couple of clients that are, just about ready to break out and be really famous. So she's kind of well known. She's got money and everything, and so she's been living in L.A. And her ex-husband Tariq and her son Corey, who's a teenager, have actually been living in Oakland since her and Tariq have been separated for 4 years. Now, what ends up happening is that at some point, one summer, she's been coming back to this little bitty town. It's a fictional town. It's a real town, but Tananarive Due changed the name of it because she says in the back acknowledgments, she's like, "Hey, sorry, this town in Washington that I, changed the name of your town," but that's the town that she used for reference. So this town is called Sacagawea, and it's in Washington State. And Angela grew up there. And so every summer, she still owns the property that's there, which is called the Good House. It's called the Good House because the dude that built it, his last name was Josiah Good, I think was his last name, like with an E at the end. And also because for a long time, Angela's grandmother, Grandma Marie, she lived there, and she's kind of like, I don't want to say it's exactly like voodoo, but it's like voodoo adjacent. You know what I mean? So she was kind of like, I guess what most Americans would call a voodoo priestess. She made like these herbal teas that would cure people and things like that. So she was kind of like, it's really interesting. They don't go a lot into, I mean, pretty much like the opening prologue is set back in 1929 when Grandma Marie was still alive. And what ended up happening, she had a husband, a common law husband, who was Native American. And the other people in the town didn't really like them, but they kind of, she kind of had this situation where she had started out, Grandma Marie had started out as the housekeeper for Josiah Good. And after he died, he left her the house in his will. And it was this really, really nice mansion, essentially. And so a lot of the townspeople didn't like that because she was Black. And then also, you know, it was the 20s. And, you know, and so then she kind of takes up with a Native American man who the townspeople kind of, who they called Red John, you know, just kind of to be shitty. And the people were kind of shitty to them, even though, like, on the down low, they would come and get teas and stuff from her because she had, you know, there was rumors that she was, you know, had knew how to do magic and stuff. So in 1929, there's a mudslide in Sacagawea, and it basically wipes out the entire town except for the Good House. And after that, people had a better opinion of Grandma Marie because she helped everybody. And also, it seems at the very beginning that the townspeople bring this girl to her that's acting very, very strangely. And as the story goes on, you realize that this was kind of like an instigating event. This girl, or this child, was basically ridden by a baka. You know, like, it's essentially like a demon, but more like a voodoo adjacent kind of demon. And Grandma Marie tried to get it out of there and all this other stuff. So apparently, so that's kind of like the prologue part. And then it kind of comes up to the present day. Now, in the present day, Angela is trying to get back together with Tariq. They're staying at the Good House over the summer. They're having a 4th of July party. Corey, the teenage son, has been acting very, very strangely, and it so happens at this party, and as I said, if you don't want to know any, you know, plot threads or anything like that, this one I think is given away, like, it's pretty early in the story, so I don't feel too bad about it, but Corey ends up either accidentally or on purpose shooting himself in the head and killing himself in the cellar of the house. And after this particular event, things really start spiraling downwards. And it's kind of like, as I said, this is a very, very long, intricate, almost kind of like a multi-generational type of story, because as it goes on, it turns out that Grandma Marie, back in, you know, the early 20th century, she was, even though she was a very powerful, like I said, as you would call a voodoo priestess, a manbo, I guess is what they called it in the book. So she was that, but apparently she had done something to piss off the spirits, and she was trying to fix it, and she couldn't really fix it. So after she died, she had apparently been trying to contact Angela to get her to fix her mistake, so that you know, the waves from this demonic possession essentially wouldn't stretch out over the entire town. However, Angela seems like she's been kind of, she doesn't really believe in that kind of thing. She's a very modern woman. You know, she loved her grandma, but she just couldn't get into all that, like, quote unquote superstition and all this other kind of shit. So it's almost kind of like she closed her mind to the past and to all of these possibilities. So apparently what had happened was that Grandma Marie had tried to contact her son Corey instead. Corey got a little overexcited and was like, oh my God, I found all Grandma Marie's stuff. And it's like, now I can do magic. And he kind of fucks it up too while he's trying to fix it. And that was, again, like the instigating incident that made the spirit or the baka, like, much, much stronger. Now, what this demon can do is basically can possess people. And it seemed like he could possess, or it could possess more than one person at once, because it could basically like take over your whole personality and make you do horrible things. You could kill your own children. You could just do all kind of shit. And it could do stuff like, because at one point, Angela and her client slash friend, Naomi, are at the Good House, and Naomi's little dog, she has a little poodle named Onyx, and he disappears. And for a long time, you think he's dead, but then, like, he turns up later on. And so So the demon can actually make things, can actually pretty like transport objects like to wherever they need to be. Guns, cars, anything. So it can, so it's very, very powerful. It's actually more powerful at the good house and this and the woods behind it, because it's like a really big property. There's a whole thing too, like not only had Grandma Marie lived there and there was all those spirits in the woods, but there was also like a, Native American, there was a burial ground and all this other stuff. So all this magic was kind of coming together. It was kind of like this, the woods were kind of like this crossroads, I guess, like where the veil between the living and the dead was very, very thin. And so that's why a lot of people who were magically inclined, let's call it that way, were kind of drawn to this place, because it was a very, it was a place of power, for both good or ill. Now, so as I said, this, the way the story goes is kind of like Angela having to come back to the town and, after her son dying and seeing the destruction that this spirit is wreaking on not only her family, but on the entire town, and her having to come to terms with the fact that magic is real and that it actually works, and, her being able to have, to come back and like fix it. So as I said, this is I really, really loved the hell out of this book. I thought it was just so, so good. It's not, it has a lot of really like creepy, like unsettling types of images. There's a lot of, I mean, it's quite violent. There's a lot of kind of ex not really explicit sex in it, but just the writing is just really evocative and beautiful. I could just see this whole entire town. I could see the house. And there's just this, the way that the demon manifests itself sometimes is really creepy. Like it can look like a person, or it can, ride a person and make them do its bidding. And that person kind of looks the same, except like with a weird grin, or they smell really bad. Like they have like a really pungent smell to them that if you're that not everybody can smell it, but if you're sensitive to it, you can smell it and that kind of thing. And also it can appear as like once it appears as kind of this little blonde girl in the woods, and sometimes it appeals as like appears as like piles of leaves, because it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like a spirit that sort of comes out of the ground. So it's like nature spirits, you know what I mean? So it's that kind of thing. But yeah, so I will say it took me a little bit of time to get into it. Like I said, it's a very, it's quite long. It's very involved. There's a lot of characters. You really have to pay attention. I don't think it's that hard to pay attention to. It's not like it's densely written or anything. It's very, very clearly written. It's, she has a really lovely writing style, but you really do have to pay attention to, the relationships between all the family members, or relationships between all the townsfolk, like, who is this and what happened in the past, because some of the people that live in the town had some shit that happened, back when Grandma Marie was alive, and knows things about her and stuff. So you really have to like keep track of all this large web of of relationships to really get the full effect out of it. But that said, as I said, I didn't really have any trouble doing that. But I did want to take a little bit more time with it, just because it was so long and involved, and I really wanted to give it my full attention. And I'm glad that I did, because it's a really, it's just like a really immersive experience, I guess. Like you just, when you're reading it, you just kind of get lost in it. And like I said, I think a lot of that has to do with the writing and the imagery. The characters are really, really involving. All of the characters are really complicated. They're not all like, oh, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy. It's like some of the people, like particularly Tariq, her Angela's ex-husband, who is kind of a shithead, but also he's got like really good qualities too. So he's not a terrible, terrible person, but you can understand like why she couldn't put up with him. You know what I mean? She is also not a perfect character either. I mean, obviously she's the protagonist, she's the hero, but she's also got a lot of her own problems. She's very bossy. She's very overly rational. She doesn't want to listen to any of this superstition crap. She's so you can see like all of the relationships, which were particularly between her and Tariq and Corey, the teenage son. He's having a hard time with her too before he dies. He's having a hard time with her too, because he just finds her very like, oh, she's all she does is talk. She doesn't listen to me. So there's like all these complex relationships that I think are really, really well played out. And there's also a relationship too between Angela, and when she goes back to the town of Sacagawea, she goes back and she meets her, essentially her high school boyfriend, Miles. And so there's kind of some stuff going on there. So there's all this complicated stuff going on with, you know, her still having feelings for him, and like, you know, Tariq wanting to come back and, you know, get back together for the sake of their son, and they're trying to work things out. So there's all this other kind of stuff going on too, like all this kind of family drama. Now, I read some reviews of it on Goodreads. And like I said, most of the reviews seemed really, really good, but some people said, well, it's not really a horror novel. I disagree with that. I think this is very much a horror novel. It did remind me, some people said it reminded them of Stephen King. The writing style is not Stephen King-ish. I think the reason people are saying that is because maybe it's kind of this complicated interweb of characters, like in a small town, you know, and there's this past evil that, you know, people have to get together and fight. In that sense, yeah, it's Stephen King-y, but a lot of other horror novels are like that as well. But yeah, I definitely think this is a horror novel. It's essentially a demon possession novel, but it's not with a quote-unquote Christian overlay. It's more like I said, more voodoo adjacent type of stuff, which is cool because you don't really see a lot of that, like in horror novels, or at least not most of the ones that I've read. It seems like it's an underexplored area. So I think it's a really cool, I think it was a really cool like framework to kind of explore the idea of messing with magic or messing with powers that probably you shouldn't be messing with, you know, people's arrogance or greed or whatever, you know, making you want to use these powers that are seemingly at your fingertips, but how something like that can go horribly, horribly wrong, and how the repercussions of that thing that you did can resonate just throughout generations and generations. Because essentially, Grandma Marie, back in the 1920s or whenever, her mistake resonated for 3 or 4 generations down there just because the spirits were so angry at her at what she'd done. And you know, the fact of her trying to reach Corey to get him to fix it, him being a teenager and not really knowing what he was doing, not really taking the time to learn how to do things correctly. He wanted everything right now. And that ended up going tragically wrong as well. So I think that's kind of like the main theme of the book, is just not to mess with stuff you don't understand, because it might have terrible, terrible results that you don't envision. And then they might resonate, as I said, you know, way down your family line, way, you know, to people who aren't even related to you, but are just like, you know, friends, family, and all this other kind of stuff. So I think that was kind of the main theme of the novel. I really, really dug that. Another criticism that people had, and I don't agree with this one either, was that they didn't like the end. And I'm not really sure what they're getting at. I'm not sure if they didn't like the resolution of, you know, how the battle turned out, or if they didn't like the sort of coda at the end. Now, I really dug the ending. I mean, honestly, I thought it kind of resolved itself perfectly. And then the coda at the end, I'm not going to lie, it actually kind of made me tear up a little bit. It was just kind of like, it was like a really touching ending. And I was actually really happy that it ended that way, because it seemed like, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to spoil the ending. So what I was going to say was probably like spoil the ending a little bit. So I'm not going to say it. But I really, really like the way the story resolved. I was very happy with it. As I said, I think the strength of this is just, I loved, you know, the framework, the whole, you know, magic thing, like I said, which, you know, voodoo type of stuff. You don't really see a lot of that in horror, which I thought was really cool. The character work, amazing. I really, really liked all the, you know, the descriptions. It's just, you know, the description of the town, the description of the house, all the familiar relationships. It was just really, really well done. And it's like, it was weird. It took me a little bit to get into, I think, because at first, it kind of jumps around in time a lot. You know, so first we're at 1929, we're talking about the mudslide, and we're talking about the kid with the demon, and like Grandma Marie trying to help the kid with the demon. And then we're jumping ahead to 2001, to the 4th of July party, where Corey kills himself. And then we're kind of jumping around from character to character. So it took me a little while to figure out, well, how do all these threads tie together? But then as the story goes, it just really kind of like sucks you in, and you just kind of get all into it, and you're just all interested in all these characters and what's happening in their lives. And as the story goes on, it's almost kind of like it's weaving the story together, like as it's going. And it was just really, it was just like a very satisfying feeling for me, like seeing where all of the things were weaving together, like as I was reading it. So yeah, it's just funny that I had just, it sounded good, like from the descriptions of, you know, that I had seen. And I was just kind of like, oh, that sounds good. I'm gonna buy that. I don't even remember if this was on my TBR, because I think I might have ordered it more recently than you know, that I ordered it after I did that video, so I'm not really sure. But I don't know. I heard a couple of people, like I said, you know, other book reviewers that I like to watch on YouTube, and a couple of them had talked about how awesome it was, and I was like, man, that sounds really good. And so I bought it, and I, like I said, when I bought it, I didn't realize that it had come out that long ago, but it doesn't matter. I didn't actually realize when I was reading it that it wasn't like a modern, 'cause I was just like, oh, it's set in 2001 or it's set in 2004 or whatever. It's like, it wasn't really a deal breaker for me. It was just funny that it took me this long to get around to reading it, but you know, but at least I finally did, right? But yeah, so definitely going to be seeking out more of her stuff, because this book was really, really enjoyable. So yeah, if that sounds like something you'd like, just a big sprawling family epic, you know, with some sort of voodoo-ish magic to it. You know, I think you'd really dig it. So definitely check it out. As I said, it's called The Good House by Tananarive Due. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.